Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello on this wonderful December cold evening, and welcome to Spark Radio. We are excited that you are joining us. It is cold and wintry here in the Midwest, and we are enjoying the snow. And it's been a while, I think, since we've had snow this early in December. And for many people, that helps get them into the holiday spirit. And for others, that also leads to stress, which is our topic tonight. We're continuing with our topic of choosing your stress from last week. And our intention at Spark Radio is to share strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge to spark your life. And so thank you so much for joining me, Ms. Melanie, tonight or whenever you are listening to this segment. If you'd like to call in to talk about strategies you use to choose your stress or to ask a question about stress, please call 347-215-8390. Or you can type in a blog as well. As soon as our window opens, I'll be able to see what you're typing. And speaking of choose your stress, you ever been in that situation where you're driving along and your gas light's on and you're trying to make the decision, oh my gosh, do I have time to stop and get gas? Do I need to keep pushing forward so that I can be on time? And what if I run out of gas? And that little voice in our head just goes on and on and on. So tonight the decision was do a quick splash and go stop about 5 miles from home because my gas gauge had been showing me that wonderful gas pump for about 30 miles, and my needle was buried, so I thought, well, better stop and get some gas. In some situations, some people would stress about that, and that's where that concept of choose your stress comes in, because having that negative emotional reaction changes nothing about the gas gauge or how the car is running, just impacts me physically. Last week, we talked a little bit about what happens to us when we have that stress. And for many of us, you know, here in the Midwest in Iowa, we had our first major ice storm over the past weekend, and so a lot of activities were canceled because you get no traction driving on ice. We had overnight snow, and so driving home from about an hour trip last night, in some places not being able to see the road, and so our body is actually physically reacting to that stress of feeling the threat. So we can either focus on the threat of the possibility of going in a ditch, et cetera, or we can focus on staying on the road and staying safe, maybe just driving a little more slowly. So choosing your perspective is a great strategy for choosing your stress. And then taking some deep breaths, because you may recall we talked about the fact that when we sense that threat and we perceive that we have no control, that's when our body experiences stress. It's the physical and emotional reaction when we perceive or think we have no control, according to Dr. David Diamond, and I prefer that definition. In the work that I do with people around the idea of choosing your stress, in the holiday season, as we mentioned, can get so hectic and so busy that we stress ourselves out and we miss the moment. And all of the little moments that happen that make the holiday experience. And if you're fortunate enough to have a child, that gives an interesting perspective as well on little things such as holiday lighting on trees or holiday songs or the idea of giving gifts. And so looking at those aspects of the holiday season brings joy, as opposed to looking at the, I've got 20 things to do, and I don't have time, and And we're going so fast trying to do so much that we miss the moment. So focusing on the now, being here now, as David Ellis said, being able to do what you do when you're doing it, to be where you are when you're there, and really enjoy the moments that make up our lives. Because now the present is truly a gift, and it really is all we have. And so often we spend our time looking back at our past or worrying about the future, neither of which brings us joy, and neither of which we have control over. So much better to stay focused in the present, where we do have some control over our actions, our choices, and our thoughts. There's an interesting phrase that I use often in teaching and training and coaching, and that phrase is, and you can repeat after me as well, I am the CEO of my life. If you think about that, I am the CEO of my life. That really is a true statement, because we are indeed in control of our thoughts, of our actions, of our emotional responses to people. We can intercept. We have an emotional reaction. We can take a time out and do some things to reframe the situation. So we'll talk about some of those strategies right now. Again, if you have any questions or want to share some thoughts about choosing your stress, please call 347-215-8390 or send a blog in our web chat room that we have open. So what can you do to choose your stress? One of the resources we've shared here at Spark Radio in the past is the website greatday.com, GREATDAY.com. And today's entry by Ralph Marston is about when we have unfortunate negative events in our lives and the perspective we could choose around those unfortunate or negative events. And so if you go to greatday.com and you look for the entry for December 5th, 2007, you'll be able to read it regardless of when you're listening to this. The title for Wednesday, December 5th is Truly Great. And life is not always easy, and that's a major reason why it's so precious. And that our best rewards in life are possible because we work our way through difficult challenges to get there. And if everything were easy, there wouldn't be opportunities for real fulfillment. And if we had total ease with no challenges in our lives, we'd be very bored and life would become tedious. So if you face that challenge, you have some obstacles, be thankful. Because those obstacles are opportunities to create value, to find meaning, create new solutions, and find fulfillment and joy. Because you can give of yourself and make a difference. And that's a summary of Ralph's entry at greatday.com. And the last line, and I quote, life is not always easy. And because of that, you have the opportunity to make it truly great. And that's greatday.com. So what else can we do to help choose our stress, to reframe, to change our perspective about things? And there are a number of strategies. Have you ever played the good news, bad news game? And you can play it by yourself or get someone else to help you, because very often when we are in a situation and we're feeling stressed, we can't see the forest for the trees because we only see what's immediately around us, which is often negative and a problem. So to get an outside perspective on, well, what else could I do? What else might I think? What other options may I choose or could I choose? And the bad news, good news game, I learned about years and years ago, and unfortunately I've forgotten the name of the man who did this setup. A seminar back in the 80s, and it goes like this. You start out with the bad news is, and then come up with, well, what is the good news? You or a friend or family member. So if the bad news is that it's snowing outside and I have to drive, what's the good news about that? Well, good news might be that I have a cell phone. So if something happens, I can contact someone. The good news is I am a smart driver and a defensive driver. And so odds are I'm going to have a safe drive home. And the good news is my 6-year-old Alex will be extremely happy because he loves snow. And so there are a lot of different ways that we can spin or look at situations, because the weather is what the weather is, regardless of how we choose to respond to it. And our bodies are very precious, and we can really tax them by having that constant one foot on the accelerator, one foot on the brake metaphor going on, because when we perceive we have no control, it's a threat, and our body reacts as if it's a physical survival-based threat. And so our heart rate picks up, et cetera, and that's the accelerator. And often we're sitting in the car and can't go anywhere, so that's just there. And then once the threat dissipates, or the perception of it, the thought of it, the feeling around it goes away, cortisol tries to bring the system down. And before the system can slow all the way back down, there's usually something else we think about, then the stress, and it kicks the adrenaline back up. And so it's really like driving your car with the accelerator and the brake at the same time. Not very good for your car engine and your brakes, and also not very healthy for your physical body as well. There's a really interesting book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, an updated guide to stress, stress-related disease, and coping. And it's a fun read about the difference between human beings who focus on beyond the moment and add the worry from the past or the future to add stress to our lives. And it's also a fun read. So what other interesting strategies could we share in our time remaining about stress? Stress often will impact our sleep. We either get too much or we can't sleep. And thinking about survival, our bodies are not interested in sex when we're stressed. Think about survival value. If you're being chased by a lion and an attractive person walks by, if your attention goes to the attractive person and not on getting away from the lion, you're probably going to be the lion's lunch. And so the hormones in our body shift, and we do not have an interest or sexual desire when we're feeling stressed. So there is a physical reason sometimes, and it's connected to stress, around our lack of interest in sex. So thinking about, what can I do to lower my stress? What do you eat and drink during the day? Does that contribute to your choice of stress? Our body needs water just like a car needs the gas, the oil. And very often we walk around with dehydrated brains because we're drinking coffee and pop and alcohol and a whole lot of other things rather than just drinking plain water. There is some research that says that we should have about 1 ounce of water for every 3 pounds of body weight. So if you take your weight and divide it by 3, that's how many ounces of water a day you would need. There are also some doctors doing research on arthritis who say it's 1 ounce for every 2 pounds of body weight. So let's say we'll go with the 1 ounce of water for every 3 pounds of body weight. So take your weight and divide it by 3. And for easy math, let's say that you weigh 150 pounds. And so if you divide that by 3, you would need 50 ounces of water a day. And for many of us, we think in terms of 8-ounce glasses. And so that would be a little over 6 glasses of water a day. And my apologies to those of you in countries that use the metric system, because I don't know conversion in liters. But if you think about, are you getting that much water a day? And this is for, an average, moderately active. Now, if you're not active or you are very physically active, that impacts your water intake as well. And if you're stressed, according to Carla Hannaford, the author of Smart Moves, Why Learning is Not All in Your Head, we need twice as much water. So if you need 50 ounces when you're not stressed, when you're under stress, that's 100 ounces. You need to double it. If you take 100 ounces and divide it by 8, you're looking at 11 to 12 glasses a day. And yes, that means you're going to the bathroom a lot, but think about what you're doing. You're getting chemicals out of your system, toxins out of your system, and it also it helps you stay healthy. So, also related to water, if you drink caffeinated beverages or alcohol, those are diuretics, which means they take water out of your system. So every ounce of caffeine or alcohol, you need to have another ounce of water. So if you drink a 20-ounce bottle of pop, that's 20 more ounces of water to what you're drinking. And this, again, is on average. So for most of us, we have our brains are so dehydrated. Our brain, depending on what research you're reading, is between 70 to 80% water. And if it's not getting enough water, it will pull it from other systems, circulatory systems, digestive systems, which can lead to impacts there as well. So we need to have enough water in our brain for the brain cells to communicate properly, for the chemicals that are necessary in the brain to move around properly, for our, all of our other systems to work properly, digestion, circulation, skin. So nourish your brain and body well, water being one of those things. What are you eating? There was a piece of interesting research that Dr. Oz shared on Oprah recently about cab drivers in England, and they were looking at their diets and how stressed they were, and they had hired an actor to stress them out, and then they did measurements about how their system was performing. And then they put them on a diet, and that diet included a lot of omega-3s, which is included in some kinds of fish. And so if you look at those omega-3s, and so 4 times a week they were eating sardines and kippers and herring, and they did that for, I believe, about a month. And at the end of the month, they tested them again and looked at their reaction to stress, putting somebody in that cab that was just obnoxious and yelling and things that would stress out a cab driver. And they noticed that there was, I believe, a 22% decrease in their stress response. And the only thing that they had changed was omega-3. And you can find that piece of information on Oprah's website. And think about how much fish are you eating. And you can have omega-3 as a supplement. It's a good fat that you need for brain cells. So are you getting enough fruits and vegetables in your diet? So thinking about your nutrition, the minerals, the vitamins that you're taking in, so that your system, your physical system, can operate as well as possible, so it's ready for the challenge and less fatigued and less challenged by not having the ingredients that it needs. What else might impact choosing your stress? Now, you think as human beings that we would know how to breathe. Well, sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing that we walk around and we're nearly hyperventilating and we're not getting any oxygen to the bottoms of our lungs, and we're also not getting as much oxygen in and carbon dioxide out. And so just have a pop-up on your computer, put a sticky note on your refrigerator that just says take 3 deep breaths. And if you try it, even right now, take a deep breath, hold it, and let it out. Take a couple more deep breaths while I'm talking to you. And let it out. And pay attention to what happens to you physically as you take several slow, deep breaths. What happens with your muscles? What happens with the sensation? Often people say they feel more relaxed just by taking some deep breaths. You're also, again, giving your system more oxygen and clearing out carbon dioxide, slowing down your system. So breathing is a great way to help you choose your stress or to manage distress or bad stress. someone was talking about, I think it's a joke I'd heard a number of years ago about someone who said, you know what, I can find you a place where there's absolutely no stress. And the person said, oh, really? Can you take me there? And he said, sure. He jumped in the car, and he said, you know that any time that we're growing and changing and learning, there are stresses on the system. We have temperature changes in our body, and then the environment stresses the system. And so we're constantly in a state of trying to maintain homeostasis or balance physically, responding to sensory input and what's going on in the environment. And so, but there is one place where there's absolutely no stress. And drove along for a little bit and pulled into a cemetery and said, this is the only place where human beings experience no stress, and that's when they're dead. Because there's always some kind of stress or pressure going on with the system. So rather than saying I want a stress-free life, better to say I want a distress-free life, or even better to say I want skills to choose my stress. So that, yes, if somebody is sliding on the ice and they almost hit me, there is an immediate emotional response that kicks up my focus, attention, reaction time, and I want that because it helps me survive. And then once that moment is passed, I want to be able to calm down. And instead of yelling and screaming at that driver for the next 20 minutes on my drive and talking about that and reliving it repeatedly, I can choose my stress, take some deep breaths to let out, slow my system down, process through some chemicals, and then focus on something positive, how grateful I am that he was only swerving in his lane and kept me safe in my own. And so the National Highway Safety Council in the United States earlier this fall came out with an interesting suggestion about road rage. And they said, if you think about other drivers as people that you care about, then would you react to them differently? Or you could create scenarios around why they're driving erratically or maybe not concentrating. Maybe they just got some bad news. Maybe they had a problem at work. Their child was in an accident on the playground, isn't in the hospital. I mean, you can create all kinds of scenarios that allow you to choose a different perspective and to have compassion. And, you know, whether or not they're true doesn't matter to that other person. It does help you to maintain some physical, a sense of control. Because remember, stress is the perceived reaction that we have no control. And we have physical, emotional cost for that stress. So as much as possible, if we can let that stress go and have no tension and choose a different perspective on the world. We have, it looks like, about 5 minutes of our show left. So if you have a question, a comment, would like to chat, the number is 347-215-8390, or send in a blog comment, and we'll be happy to talk about that. Choosing your attitude, and again, as a CEO of your life, it is a choice you can make. And if you're having some challenges doing that, talking to a friend, a counselor, a minister, a coach, someone who can help you learn some skills. Because if you've been in the pattern of thinking for many years in your life, it's challenging to break that pattern on your own. Some people are more successful than others. Know that it is possible to make that change. And one of the strategies and things I want to share with you, especially this busy time of year, is something from my friend and colleague Paul Wesselman with Stone Soup Seminars. And it's some information about how to say no. Part of the reason we experience stress is because we feel like we have to and we should all over ourselves. And we need to stop shooting on ourselves. And that's spelled S-H-O-U-L-D-I-N-G. We listen to the should around us rather than listening to our own passions and consistently choosing in favor of those passions and those priorities in our life. So think about, you know, and one of the things before I get into Paul's list is before I say yes to somebody who asked me to maybe volunteer to do a training for Girl Scouts or to help work at an event, is to say, thank you for asking. I need to get back to you because I need to take a look at my calendar and talk with my family. So I can time it. If they want an answer right now and I don't have time to think, then the answer is thank you. And I am going to say no. Because if I do this with you, it means time away from my husband and my son. And that's important time as well for them and for me. So good luck. If you can suggest someone else, that's good as well. So what are some strategies around how to say no? Some words you can choose. Paul suggests change the default, because most of the time we automatically say yes without thinking. And so say no first and let them explain why they want us to say yes. Why is it beneficial? Again, another suggestion is delay your response. And we often think of 5 or 10 good reasons why we should help, when the truth is the next day we think of 20, why it wasn't such a good idea. So give yourself time to think and get back to people. Third suggestion Paul has is analyze both options, because often we're taught that it's rude to say no, and it's impolite. And again, every time you say yes to something, you say no to something or someone else, because you only have 168 hours a week, just like everybody else. Time truly is an equal opportunity resource. And so if you're saying no to one thing, what are you saying yes to? And a fourth suggestion, Paul makes a script to no. Write it out ahead of time. Write a script. Have a few responses ready so it's easier to say no. And then practice saying no. Because once again, we say yes so quickly. So some of those scripts might be, if you can ask again at a later time, like next week, next month, next year, or next life, I might be able to say yes. No, thanks for asking. No, I'm not able to take that on right now. Thanks for asking. Remember that other project I'm working on for you? Do you want me to set that aside and concentrate on this, or should I wait and finish that first? Oh, you need to know right now whether I can do it? Then the answer needs to be no. If you can give me a day or so to check, I might be able to reprioritize. So a lot of different ways that we can choose to say no, and sometimes that helps us achieve our stress, to remember that taking care of ourselves allows us to have more to give to others, because we need to replenish ourselves as well. Thank you so much for listening to Spark Radio, and I do hope that you have found some valuable strategies, possibilities, actions, and resources and knowledge that you could use as you work to choose your stress, choose what is worth that physical and emotional reaction, and learn to choose a different perspective. So you can choose less distress in your life and enjoy the season of joy and giving, not just in this season, also for every day, because the present is truly our gift. And when we are getting ready for bed at night, I ask my son Alex, Alex, what was one of your best adventures today? Because I want him to focus on good things. And the same is true with, you'll sometimes say, Mom, you go first. And then we also share what we're thankful for. So consider adding those to your resources as well. Thank you so much. And until next time, may you choose to create great days as you continue to make a positive difference in the lives you touch. Enjoy the season. And stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.